Thank you, Genevieve. We're going to be turning to number 119 as we bring up this PowerPoint. I want to show you something about the passage. It'll only take a minute, but this has been, it's chapter 36, very interesting. I learned something this week as I studied for this, but if you can see the chapter, look at all the red. You may not be able to read those words, but those are all bad, wicked, terrible attitudes and actions that wicked people are. They're not good, they're wicked, they're iniquitous, they're mischievous, they don't love good, they run to evil, etc., etc. And right in the middle of a world like that are six verses for the rest of us who love Christ. It's almost like that's almost a picture of this world. And in those six verses, they're verses of hope, and they're hope in the Lord's loving kindness. So, there are three times, by the way, this word chesed is in there. And that's three couplets on that topic. That's our hope. So as we sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, it's not just a song. It's our hope, it's our prayer, and it's our affirmation of what we believe in this world. It's going to get us through. So let's sing all three verses of Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you. Is that gooder? All right, very good. I'm just kind of seeing who's here tonight, looking at some faces, trying to get some names in mind. I'll not go to the extensive, here am I, here's my life story, all right? We'll find that out along the way. But tonight will be very, very different regardless of how I've been introduced over the last several hours or this past week. Whatever has been said about tonight is off the record. This is going to be a lively service. It's going to be very different. You will leave here learning a great deal about the Bible. That is no brag. That is just how it works. I have, years ago, I developed a Bible study that I called Walk Through the Bible. And I have taken it around Indianapolis. I've taken it throughout the country. I've taken it to the other side of the world. And it is always most enjoyable. I've done it with large church audiences. I've done it with small living room setups and people and so forth. And so this is very interactive tonight. You are not watching me preach. You are here to learn something, all right? It's a very evangelistic and yet at the same time very comprehensive, for we are going to cover the Old Testament tonight. Ooh, watch the clock, all right? Watch me do it, all right? Now, what I need first of all here tonight, I need 25 people. We got a harp up here, so let's kind of work around it a little bit. I need 25 smiley face volunteers to come up and help me here. No, we're not going to make you disappear, not going to cut you in half or anything. So so we'd like you to come, everybody. Just please come on up. Let's count them out here. All right, Dan, if you could help me count, all right. I need 25 people here, all right. Yes, they have no idea what they're getting into. Come on up, come on. It's all right, it's okay. This is fun time here tonight, all right? Okay. All right. Yes, yes, yes. Let's see. All right. Just kind of stretch out. Yeah, just find us up here. Now, the rest of you who are remain seated, we will get you later. All right. Okay. Okay, come on up. How many of you guys here going so far? Okay, very, very good. All right.
Yeah, sure.
All right. While he's getting the numbers, let me give you some of these things. Watch out for the heart, please. All right. Okay. Okay. Dan, well, there's okay. All right. And by the way, I did talk this over with the pastor before he left. All right. It's okay. He knows what I'm doing. He's seated. All right. Okay. Did I miss somebody? Okay. We still doing okay? All right. Let's see if we're going to come out all right here. All right. All right, I've got, exactly, way to go, Dan, all right. All right, what we've got up here, hold them up so everybody can see, are 25 major characters or events or places in the Old Testament. Well, let's challenge our thinking a little bit. They are not in any particular order. Betty mixed them up. But I would like over here on the harp side, we're going to do this all. We're going to scramble all this at once. See if you can get things in chronological order, starting over here by the piano, working all the way over here by the orchestra. And by the way, we will make a lot of mistakes tonight. It's okay. We're here to learn. We will learn from our mistakes too. Don't be embarrassed about it. You may have been a Christian all your life, and you may not understand how the Old Testament flows. But there is a storyline in the Old Testament that is one storyline, and it is driving toward one conclusion, triumphant conclusion in God's Word. So let's take a little bit of break here, all right? A little bit of music, please. Let's start over here. Go ahead, everybody. See if you can straighten it out, all right? Let's see if they, okay. Thanks, Rick. All right. Okay.
Like the 12 spies are before Joshua. Yeah, 12 spies are before Joshua.
Okay, we're getting it there, all right. Okay, we got one more. King Solomon here. King Solomon. Right there. All right. Okay, here we go, everybody. Let's check it out, and we'll make we'll straighten some things out as we go if we need to. All right. Okay, over here we're going to start with Adam. Is that good enough? Okay. Okay, here we go. Give me your attention, everybody. Here we go. All right. Here is Adam, and after Adam is, show him your sign here. All right, Miss Noah here. All right, Mr. Noah. All right. Then after the flood, Earth's population starts again, and along comes the Tower of Babel in Genesis 9. All right. But then in Genesis 12, we find Abraham. Then we have Isaac. All right. Jacob, very good. Joseph is good. Then they go to Egypt. Moses, very, very good. 10 laws, that's the 10 commandments. The 12 spies and 40 years of wanderings. Okay, then Joshua, Judges. Samuel comes along, and then there's King Saul, King David, King Solomon. And if this is a little overwhelming, stay with me tonight, all right? Then the kingdom splits. Then we have, we got to come up with here. Kingdom splits, and then we have, come up here, Miss Assyrian. Okay. Okay. Okay, we have the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, then Ezra, Nehemiah, and this is a term which I'll explain here after a little while. 400 silent years, and finally we come to the birth of Christ. Now, if that's a little overwhelming, the best part of the service is coming up yet here tonight, all right? So I tell you what, all those people that think they escaped any responsibility tonight, on your way out, I want you to pass that along to somebody else out here, okay? Okay, go ahead. Thank you, everybody, all right? Okay. All right, now, what I need is seven of you to stay back here, all right? So, I mean, sorry, 11. Give me 11 people, and I got one more thing like that. Yeah, there we go.
Are we really handing these out to someone else?
Sure, pass along somebody else. You've always wanted to do that. Okay, let me take these from you, okay? And... And what I need is 11. Do we have 11 up here? Okay. All right. Okay, here's how the Old Testament is laid out. There are 11 out of the Old Testament books. There are 11 and only 11 books that are primary books. By that I mean is, I'm not saying that the other books are not important or that they're not inspired, but there are 11 Old Testament books in which time moves and the story is told. That starts making the Old Testament a little easier and a little more conquerable. All right? For instance, the book of Psalms, there's not a storyline in Psalms. It's not taking you from this year to this year to this year. So here's how to learn and memorize, very simply, the 11, what I call the primary Old Testament books, okay? G, E, and N. Now, that is the abbreviation for Genesis, but this is not Genesis. This is Genesis, Exodus, and Numbers. We've just got 3 out of the 11 memorized, right? Got it? Genesis, Exodus, Numbers. So the Genesis means the book of beginnings. So what's the opposite of a beginning? It's the ending. Oh, very good. So hold it up, ma'am. All right, you're the E. And I've just did a little mental trick here. I put, there's an N and then a D in parentheses. The D is not important, but it'll help you remember because it spells end. Here's the beginning. Here's the end. But hold them up really, really good. You gals need to grow a little bit more. All right, here we go. The E is Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, please understand, we'll mention this a little later. Even though Ezra and Nehemiah are in the midst of the Old Testament, chronologically, they are at the end of the story. All right? They're the end of the story. So let's fill it in. Here's a J, what I call a J1, and kind of a J2, which stands for Joshua and Judges, and then a 1S and a 2S, which is 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, and then, oh, we're short somebody here. Well, I'll be it here, I guess. Let's go over there. Okay. First Kings and Second Kings. These are the 11 primary books of the Old Testament, which tells the Old Testament story, and everything else in the Old Testament fits in along the way to give further detail or embellish the happenings and the people telling their life story and so forth and so on. All right. Now, thank you, everybody. Before you leave, from here on out, I want to encourage you to do this. Don't take notes tonight. Follow me. And if you say, "Oh, I really want to take notes," we have the notes already printed out. And what we have printed out is far better than you could ever keep up with here tonight. All right? So tell you what, can you pick these up for me? And then hand them to Miss Betty, all right? Thank you, all right, everybody. Okay. You're all good. Good. Let's see if I could get this to work here. There we go. Where did I put this? I think, I forgot how I set this up here. Here we go. So here's our walk through the Bible, and in the time that we have here tonight, I will go as far as I can in the Old Testament story, knowing that we may not be able to finish it all, but I'm going to give it a try. I'd rather do a good job of teaching you what I can in the time, rather than just confusing everybody on the storyline. This is the opening lesson on this, and I must confess, I've talked this over with Pastor Mark, and I have no intention, I have no desire to kind of weasel my way in and bring the whole series, although I can. But in order for us to do that, we would have to send Pastor Mark and Karen over to Switzerland again. So our quote-unquote message here tonight is called Walk Through the Bible. Here's a very, very basic map of the Middle East, and I included way down the lower right-hand corner that piece of geography that is in the news every day, right now. Okay, so to give you a reference point. Egypt is on the opposite corner, and then that little red area is Israel, and that is a map of the Middle East. Now, to make this a little more personalized, what we're going to do here tonight is we're going to make ourselves the map of the Middle East. I will leave this up here in case for reference sake, but I'm not going to PowerPoint this message here tonight. In fact, I'm going to get out and I'm going to walk among you, and I'm going to role play out the Old Testament with you, and we're going to follow the Old Testament story starting with Genesis chapter 12. Do you think it can be done? All right. You don't think it can be done. Here's how it works. Even though this is south, we're going to pretend that it's north for our purposes here tonight. Okay, up there is north, and the choir loft is we're going to pretend that that's north over here. Then over here, we're going to make you Egypt. Okay? So when we get there, you're gonna find yourselves in Egypt, and we'll work through Egypt. Over here is Israel. Okay, and I suppose it's pretty fitting. We don't have but two guys back here. We'll call this the wilderness. All right. then over here. When we get to it at about, 11 o'clock or so tonight, you are Assyria, and the bottom half over here is Babylon. You've always wanted to go to Babylon. All right, it's up there on the map. So what I don't have in here, here's the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River and so forth flowing down the middle. And because we're in a church service, I'm not taking the liberty like I often have, and that is absolutely scramble up the chairs into the map shape. But we'll sit here and we'll use our imagination here, and we'll put some other cities in here along the way. So have you got this in mind? If we'll get this role play as we go. But here's the story. Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, God created the world and Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 3, sin enters the human race. And Genesis chapter 4, Seth comes along and the human civilization starts to develop. Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8 is the great universal flood. And then chapter 9 comes along and government is being formed. And then we in Genesis chapter 10, we find the Tower of Babel in which people are being scattered. But in Genesis chapter 12, God picks out one person out of all the human population to start putting forth his plan of salvation. And he chooses out one man in particular, and that man's name was Abraham. Abraham was born down here in Ur of the Chaldees, way down the corner of our map as we are here tonight. Some of you may remember where you were born. You know, people ask me where I was born, and I tell them, well, where I was born, but I say, that's what I've been told anyway. I can't remember it, but believe it or not, I was born in Flint, Michigan. And now you know why I am the way I am. And maybe some of you are born around here, maybe some of you are born someplace, but you are born someplace, and that's an important piece of fact to have because it establishes ownership and citizenship and so forth. But Abraham had a wife whose name was Sarah. He had a father whose name was Terah, and he had a nephew whose name was Lot. And God called Abraham to be the father of many nations, and he said, I want you, Abraham, to go into a land that I will show thee. And so one day, Abraham packed up his bags. Abraham, Sarah, Terah, and Lot, four people, traveled up the fertile lands of the Euphrates River, and they came all the way up here this far to a city that is called Haran. And he looked at the landscape around him and so forth, and all those four people stayed there. Abraham stayed there for 20 or 30 years, and during those 20 or 30 years, Abraham became very, very rich. If you read the account, wow, Bill Gates had nothing. Really, these guys, Abraham became exceedingly wealthy. And so here is Abraham and his relatives up here in Haran. Haran means barren. So we call this little town, I've kind of nicknamed it a little bit, Barren Haran, all right? So they live up here for 20 or 30 years, and Abraham becomes very rich. Well, Terah stays back. He's now getting very up in years. In fact, he lives past 200 years of age. And so Abraham took his wife Sarah and their nephew Lot and followed God's leading, and they went all the way down to what is we have now known as the Promised Land, because it's the land that God promised Abraham. And here it is, the wonderful, beautiful Promised Land. And while Abraham was there, Abraham entered into covenant with God. What's a covenant? Well, what's a contract? A contract is different than a covenant. A contract is a legal agreement based upon distrust. A covenant is a legal agreement based upon trust. That's why in a wedding ceremony, the pastor refers to the ceremony as a covenant. It is two people totally trusting their lives to each other. It is not distrust, it is trust. And Abraham entered into a promise with God because God was promising some unconditional things to Abraham. These are the three things: land, seed, and blessing. Say it with me, ready? Land, seed, and blessing. The land was real dirt, a real piece of geography. Seed is the Bible's way of saying children or offspring, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. And blessing means the favor of God. God says, I'm going to give you a piece of land, I'm going to give you children that are as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the sea, and I'm going to pour out my blessing upon you. In fact, not only you, Abraham, and all your descendants, but in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Welcome, everybody, to God's blessing. And so Abraham started to live out his life there in the Promised Land. In time, Abraham had two sons. Here's how you remember it. Abraham had two eyes. Abraham had Ishmael and Isaac. Say it with me, ready? Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac had two sons. They were different initials. They were J and E. How I remember that on the spot is the first two letters of Jesus. So the first two, the sons that he had, the first two letters were Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau. Jacob had a whole lot of sons. In fact, he had 12 sons and one daughter. Anybody remember her name? Well, now we all know where the little kindergarten song came from. Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. Someone's in the kitchen, I know. Someone's in the kitchen with Dinah. And the rest of the song goes, everybody, strumming on the old banjo. You'll remember Dinah, won't you? All right. It's a wonderful hymn story. It's just terrific. Well, Jacob had those 12 sons. His youngest son's name was Benjamin. Little Ben. His next youngest son's name was Joseph. We are now have worked our way well into Genesis. You're doing pretty good. All right? You're doing pretty good. Joseph wasn't in too good favor by his older brothers. And so Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers over here to Egypt. It's what we call today human trafficking. They despised his brother. They set it up somehow so his dad would believe that he was killed by a wild animal. Not so. They sat on that for years. But now we find Joseph over here in a foreign land And his first place that he found was in the Potiphar home. And there is, Mr. Potiphar was gone. Mrs. Potiphar was home, though. It's kind of a strange name. She was a very elegant lady, very sneaky, not very unscrupulous. And I remember her because she had quite a collection of furs. She had pots of furs. It's going to get worse. But you'll remember it. And Mrs. Potiphar saw, here's a young Joseph, young adult, young kid. He says, shh, he is mine. And she went after him and started making some advances and started becoming pretty flirtatious. And he said, nothing doing it, Mrs. Potiphar. And he escaped out of her presence. But she wasn't going to let that go. And she turned him in. The authorities came and arrested him and put him in, threw him in the Egyptian jail. Unknown to his family, unknown to Jacob, his son is now in Egyptian jail. And he's there for some time wondering, what did I ever do to deserve this? But in time, there was two other inmates that got thrown in there with him. They had an unusual background. They were the butler and the baker for the Pharaoh. Somehow they had a falling out. I don't know what happened, whether the baker burnt the toast in the morning or whatever. Something happened there. And the Pharaoh got after his butler and a baker. And it wasn't the only butler and the baker they had. They were the chief of the butlers and the bakers. I mean, they were the top of the White House staff. And they got thrown in jail. And here's Joseph. And they had a couple of strange dreams. And they were both pretty shook up about it. And they went to Joseph and said, can you interpret our dreams? And Joseph, indeed, because he had such an excellent spirit, that God allowed him to correctly introduce the dreams. The baker said, when I get out, I'm going to mention this to the... If I ever get out of here, I'm going to mention this to the Pharaoh. And he forgot. So Joseph stayed in jail for quite some time. Got really grubby. His hair got really, really long and so forth. But then those two men got out. And sure enough, as Joseph had predicted, in 3 days' time, on the Pharaoh's birthday, the butler lived and the baker was executed. In time, the Pharaoh had a dream too, and he said, I don't know what this dream is. It sure is weird. Now the baker remembers there's a guy in jail, and they pulled Joseph out of the jail and cleaned him up and put him before the Pharaoh. Well, it's kind of a long story. It's worth preaching through. I don't want to get stuck here. My point is, the Pharaoh was introduced to Joseph, and he was so impressed with Joseph's ability to correctly transcribe the dreams that he made Joseph second in command in all of Egypt. He really empowered him. The dream that Pharaoh had was there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. And he put Joseph in charge of all those 14 years so that Egypt would survive. Not only was Egypt going under a famine, but unknown to him, his dad and all of his brothers were going over the famine over here in the Promised Land, Canaan Land. Dad said, boys, you got to go to Egypt and see if you can get us some food. Well, most of you probably know the story. And it took a while, but Joseph finally revealed himself to his brothers. What a day that must have been. And so Joseph said, I want you to bring my dad. I want all my brothers. I want you to come. I want you to bring your wives. I want you to bring your kids. And most of all, I really want to see the brother I've never seen yet, little Benjamin. I want you to bring them all into Egypt. We will take care of you. And did he ever take care of them? Quite a story. So we have all of Jacob's family here who have now been transported into Egypt. And along the way, during all this time, get this, Jacob's name was changed by God to Israel. So now we have all the children of Israel, the kids, the grandkids, the boys, their wives. We have the whole family of Israel, about 37 strong, over here in Egypt. And they are going to incubate in Egypt for the next 430 years. 30 years while Joseph still lived, 30 years of prosperity and freedom, but it didn't last, for when Joseph died, those Israelite people who are now multiplying and growing as a family are held in slavery and in bondage. And so at the end of the 400-year period, this small family has now grown into a nation of 2.5 million people. Let's review this. See if we can hang on to this. Abraham was born down here in where? Ur of the Chaldees. And so one day God says, I want you to go into a land that I will show thee. So four left, and their names were Abraham, say it with me, Abraham, Sarah, Terah, and Lot. And they came up here to Haran. Haran, where Abraham lived for 20 or 30 years, and he became very, very rich. Terah dies. So Abraham and the rest of his family in time continue on down here to the promised land, where God enters into covenant with Abraham, and Abraham is promised three things. They are land, seed, and blessing. Very good. Abraham has two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac has two sons, which is Jacob and Esau. Jacob has how many sons? 12. And how many? And what the daughter's name was?
Dinah.
Don't ever forget that. All right, very, very good. There's Dinah. All right. And one day, the older brothers despised Joseph. Oh, no, Joseph was, there's little Benjamin, then there's Joseph, the next youngest son. And the older brothers despised Joseph and sold him to some traders over here in Egypt. His first stop was at whose house? Potiphar's house, and where Potiphar's wife had him thrown in jail. Well, there he is. But in time, he was joined in jail by a butler and a baker, and he was able to correctly interpret the dreams. And to cut the longer story short, Joseph was asked to appear before the Pharaoh, where the Pharaoh was so impressed with his spirit and his ability to do what his own magicians could not do, and that is correctly interpret his dreams. So the Pharaoh made Joseph what? Second in command in all of Egypt. Well, his family was over here because of the famine. And Joseph was able to bring his family over, and he finally revealed himself. And they lived over here for how many years? 430 years. 30 years of prosperity and freedom, 400 years of slavery. At the end of the 400 years, a mighty deliverer by the name of Moses arose. And he appeared before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." After 10 plagues, Pharaoh said, "All right, I'll let you go." And so they crossed, we'll pretend that this isle is the Red Sea. And so the seas parted. The verse there is very interesting. The Hebrew word is the term that is used in jello. You know how jello kind of coagulates? And so as the waters backed up, the waters coagulated. And so as they walked through the corridor of water, they could slap their hand on the wall of water and it would just jiggle, jiggle, jiggle like Jell-O does. And they walked. So one day, the 2.5 million people exited Israel back into the wilderness down here. I'm sure it made the news that day. And so now we have Moses leading 2.5 million people, and they're in this wilderness. They take a sharp right turn and come all the way down here to Mount Sinai, where God gives Moses two things. One is the pattern for the tabernacle, and number two is what we're most familiar with, is the law, the Ten Commandments. Well, it's time for Moses to lead the people into the Promised Land, but he thought maybe he better check it out first. And I'll try to be a little descriptive because I know I'm behind some of you. So he says, we need to check out the Promised Land. Even God has promised to us, but let's see what we're getting into, folks. So Moses got a representative from the basic 12 tribes of Jacob, and he got 12 men together. He says, men, go in, and I want you to spy out the land here. Right? Let's see how good they're doing. Let's see what kind of government they've got. Let's see what kind of food supply they've got. Let's see how their armies are, how strong they are, and so forth. And the 10 spies came back and gave their report to Moses. 10 of them said, Moses, forget it. Their armies are too big. They've got too many people. They've got too many resources. They've got too much stockpiled. We don't even have much food except for this man in the morning. We can't support an army. We don't have the weaponry. Can't do it. There are two men, though, that said, you know, God has promised us this land. And God Almighty says we need to conquer the land. We need to stand in there and go for it by faith and step out into that land and conquer it and claim the promises of God. Well, the vote was 10 to 2, which just goes to show that the majority is always right. No, not here. And they didn't step out by faith, so God said, okay, if you don't want to believe me, I will still fulfill my promise, but this present generation won't get to enjoy the blessing of my promise. The two men that said, we need to trust God, were Joshua and Caleb. We'll come back to that. Joshua and Caleb. In time, they started to wander around. They just went around, no real pattern. They just went round and round and round, following the fiery cloud and so forth. And during those next 40 years, that generation that did not believe and trust God, God allowed to die off. And Moses or one of his assistants would have had, it's been figured, about 37 funerals a day until that generation passed away. We are now 40 years later, and there are only three men left from that former generation. They are Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Three that said, we could do it. Moses is nearing the end of his life. He doesn't have too many days left, but before he dies, he preaches his last series of sermon messages before the people. They are five messages, and you know what they are. You have them in the book. They are forever preserved, as the book of Deuteronomy. And Moses is recounting, he's replaying God's goodness, God's challenges, he's replaying the history of Israel. He's saying, we need to trust God, we need to obey God, we need to follow his commandments. And that was the last word. I find it interesting myself personally, the last thing he taught them, he says, you will remember the song. He says, I'm going to teach you a song, you will remember the song. And I think that's quite true. We have a way of, it's easier to memorize a hymn than it is to, say, quote the pastor's message from 2 weeks ago. Moses died. Joshua, who I call General Joshua, the military leader, takes over, and he is now leading these now 2.5 million people across the Jordan River into the Promised Land, much like they did 40 years ago crossing the Red Sea. They run smack dab into a city that is called Jericho. And you know the perhaps the story there. They marched around for a week, and a week later they blew the trumpets, crashed the candles or whatever, and the walls came tumbling down, and they conquered. God gave them Jericho. They moved on to another little city called Ai. How do you spell Ai, by the way? It's Ai, all right? It's pronounced the same way it does. It's not artificial intelligence as we hear it today. That's just the name of the Hebrew sound. But they weren't getting the victory. That's because there was one man by the name of Achan, another A, who took something that was forbidden, and God was not giving them victory. But once they found Achan and dealt with him, which was really quite severe, but not in God's justice. But then they were given the victory. And now Joshua is driving himself in here in the middle of that. And I understand that that's a pretty good military tactic, because it's called divide and conquer, which is still studied today. And so he took his armies and he wiped out the southern cities, came back up to Gilgal and wiped out the northern cities. And then remember I said there were 12 sons of Jacob? Basically what happened here is that the 12 sons, this is a little variation here, moved in and populated the land. And that's why, people, you've got all these funny old-time maps in the back of your Bible. That's what that is. It's when the Israelites moved in and they had a land rush and they populated the land. Well, Joshua lived out his years, and there was no president, there was no king, there was no emperor, there was no pharaoh, there was no national leader here. And so they set up a series of, pardon, Betty's making me time out, all right? All right. May I have to, what we got here? Yes, it is 7 o'clock. All right, let me see what I can do here. Let's see, where was I at here? I lost my train of thought here. Okay, so Joshua moved in, and there was no leaders, there were no leaders. So they set up a system of judges, and for the next 400 years, judges rule the land according to the law of Moses. Do you know how long 400 years is? They were 400 years, you know, over here, and now we've got another 400-year period. And the 400 years came and went, and the last judge that came along was Samuel. He's the end of the line. Little bitty Samuel. You know the story. And Samuel was not only the last judge, but a pivotal figure. He was also the first prophet. And so by now, the people are calling out for a political leader, a king. And so Samuel coronated, like our Supreme Court justice swears in the president on Inauguration Day. Samuel inaugurated the first king of Israel, who was King Saul. And we read of King Saul in 1 Samuel. Do you get it? Samuel anointed, and then it's into the book of Samuel. You got it? Okay, very good, all right? Okay, then Saul lived out his reign. Saul's son-in-law took the throne, and Samuel again coronated King David. We read of King David primarily in 2 Samuel. So the first king is in 1 Samuel, the second king is in 2 Samuel. All right, who's the third king after David? David's son, who was Solomon. Well, David pretty much put Solomon in position to take over the leadership. And we read of Solomon in 1 Kings. All right? In 2 Kings, we're zooming along here. In 2 Kings, the kingdom split apart. Anybody know why? Yeah, that's it. Not much difference than today. Remember, Solomon was very wise, but he's also very wealthy, and somebody had to support it. And the country fell apart because of the economy. And so we have the northern 10 tribes. The country went from split in two, like our own nation did during the Civil War, into the northern states and the southern states, except with Israel. It was the northern 10 tribes and the southern 2 tribes. I'm going to zip through this so I can finally get to the end here. So hang on, and we'll go real fast. At after the split, 250 years after the split, does anybody know how long 250 years is? We are celebrating our 250th year in this nation here. 250 years after the Israel split, the northern 10 tribes, which are up here, were taken into captivity over here. Over here. Thank you. Got to get this right. In Assyria. Notice A, Assyria. And they pull all these people over here, and the Israelite people that were moved over here never did return to the Promised Land. The kings became so corrupt, there was never any good king in the northern tribes. None of them were good. They were all bad. The southern 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, had some good kings and some not so good kings and some bad kings. But they lasted longer than the northern tribes, and they lasted 150 years longer. And 150 years after this part went into the Assyrian captivity, this nation, which is Babylon, came in and took them over here, took these people off the land, and including some of those people were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and so forth. And two numbers there is 722 for here and 586, which is well worth remembering, but I'm trying to hasten on here tonight. After being in captivity for 70 years, there were three men that arose to leadership. They were Ezra, Nehemiah, and I like this name. He did not write a book, but I like his name. Zerubbabel. Somebody's got to name their dog Zerubbabel or something here, all right? And they brought back some of these people over here to repopulate the Promised Land, rebuild the walls, reestablish the temple worship, and start reading God's word once again. At the end of when that happened, that closes out the story of the Old Testament. That's it. Well, what happened next, though? There is something significant that happened in history. It's another 400-year period. There's 400 years between Ezra and Nehemiah and another major event. But what happened here was Alexander the Great conquered the known world, and he constructed and taught people as a worldwide standard the Koine Greek language. Therefore, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and in Aramaic, some. But by then, the New Testament is written in Koine Greek. thus setting the stage, after 400 years of silence, the birth of Christ. God is very merciful. We say, boy, that sure is a long time, God. Can't you speed that up? But remember, God is not on the clock. God is eternal. Time does not alter God. In fact, the promises that he gave here of land, seed, and blessing are eternal promises. And when God gives something to us, it is not on the time clock, it is eternal, because his being is an eternal being. He doesn't have anything else to give but eternality. But he's used the world stage in history here to play out his story. Please take your Bible here. You think, oh, am I going to preach? No, I'm not. Turn to Genesis chapter 12, and I will wrap it up with him. This, and you say, yes, I've heard people say they wrap it up. I know how that works. Genesis chapter 12, as I read these three verses, please note that these three verses are the most important three verses in all of Scripture. These three verses contain the basic three promises that God set forth to Abraham that God is still working on as we speak, and God will continue to fulfill his promises in the prophetic future. What are the three promises? Remember, they are land, seed, and blessing. To have a nation, you have to have two things. You have to have land and people. Having air superiority does not mean you have rule over a nation. Having passageway over a waterway does not give you control of a country. Just making it a little wise here. You have to have two things to have a nation. You have to have land and people. Notice the promise to God. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land. There it is, the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. It's going to take land. It's going to take people. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Well, we're going to park it there, but I'm telling you, those are the three most important verses in all of Scripture. Why do I say that? Because a threefold cord cannot be broken. God is a Trinity, a three-part being, and he is bringing forth us three basic truths that he is spinning out, he is working out, he is weaving out throughout all of the Old Testament, all during the New Testament times, and yea, even today as we speak, into all the way through the future, all the way through the tribulation, all the way through the millennium. And God, folks, one day is going to completely, totally fulfill his promise. He will give the land to Israel when they are just about ready to be wiped out. He will provide Abraham a family, but in one particular person is God interested in, that is of the seed of Abraham. Who is it? It's Jesus Christ. And it is through Jesus Christ who wants to bless every one of us with his eternal salvation. Land, seed, blessing. That's been pretty quick. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your overtime. We've got, can you two kids here help? Yeah. Be at the back. Betty's got a packet of the notes here. And you know, folks, what I would say, take it, put it in your Bible. It's just a one-sheeter, but it's both sides. and get down these 25 things, get down those 11 books. So when pastor says, turn to your Bible to such and such, you know where that part fits in. You know where it's dialed in. It's not just another miscellaneous story that doesn't fit in. It is part of the story of redemption that God is playing out on the theater of the earth for our salvation. Thank you for your attention. Well, we covered a lot of ground. There's more, but we will have to send Pastor Karen, I'm Pastor Karen, yeah, Pastor Mark and Karen to Switzerland once again for the next of it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for attentiveness of everybody. Help us to grow by your word. Help us to see your plan in your book. And may we appreciate your individual attention to every one of us as sinners, that we have been saved by grace. You've not only showed forth your salvation to the nation of Israel, but you've also showed your salvation to us as Gentile believers as well. Bless us as we go. Bless Pastor and Karen as they travel back this week. Help us to live victorious in Jesus' name. Amen.